Night of music and poetry inspired by light to hold back the dark. Illuminating winter, light in the darkness, on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds. Starts at dawn next Sunday.
This is BBC Radio 3. Good evening from me, Chris Barrow. Now it's 7:30, time for Drama on 3, which is an original take on a cult novel from Japan, Thousand Cranes by Yasunari Kawabata, dramatised by Jude Cook. With references to suicide from the start, the programme is introduced by the Japanese cultural historian Christopher Harding.
One day, in 1968, Yasunari Kawabata answered his door to find a friend of his standing there, grasping a bottle of sake so tightly in his hand that his knuckles were turning white. Kawabata had just become the first Japanese winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature, praised for his ability to communicate to a global audience all that he found precious about Japan. Kawabata himself was living in a time of loss. Japan's devastating defeat in 1945 had left writers, politicians, and the public struggling to discern what could or should be salvaged of the pre-war world. Most of the big decisions were taken by the United States as the occupying power in Japan until 1952. Some of those decisions were warmly welcomed, disbanding the military, giving women the vote. And yet as Kawabata set to work in 1949, composing Thousand Cranes, it already seemed to some that every gain for post-war Japan would be accompanied by a loss. This was a democracy now. People were citizens, not imperial subjects. But gone was the purpose of the past, a sense of the emperor as a father figure, a guiding light. Tokyo and Osaka were noisy in 1949 with the sound of debris being cleared and new buildings rising up. But as they grew and grew, Japan's cities would start to feel, for some, like shrines to an empty new religion. The man on Kawabata's doorstep in 1968 mourned all this and more. The great author and playwright Yukio Mishima held his sake tight because Kawabata's Nobel left his own chances of winning much reduced. There would surely not be a second Japanese laureate anytime soon. But it was a much greater sense of failure, of Japan itself, that finally drove Mishima to take his own life 2 years later in 1970. Kawabata had often had death on his mind too. In Thousand Cranes, death is never far from the surface. People navigating the passing on of life and tradition, embracing or rejecting the past, mourning sometimes its creeping corruption. It is from these things that this story derives its subtle power.
Thousand Cranes by Yasunari Kawabata. With Eiji Mihara as Yasunari Kawabata and Nino Furuhata as Kikuji Mitani.
In the spring, cherry blossoms. In the summer, the cuckoo. In the autumn, the moon. And in the winter, the snow, clear, cold.
Where to, sir?
The seafront, please.
That's only a street away.
I'm not as strong as I used to be.
Hey, I know you. Aren't you that politician? The one they tried to assassinate?
I'm a writer. And no writer is that unpopular.
Oh, got it. You are Kawabata Yasunari. And you won the Nobel Prize for Literature. In 1968,
4 years ago.
Yes.
And yes, you're correct. I am he.
It's an honor to have you in my car, Kawabata-san.
Writers are just people like everyone else.
I'm ashamed to say I've only read one of your books.
Which one?
The Thousand Cranes.
What did you think?
I didn't really understand it.
To tell the truth, neither did I. I could never finish that novel.
May I ask, where you get your ideas?
No, you may not.
I'm sorry to offend Kawabata-san. Are you working on anything at the moment?
I would if I could sleep at night.
Did you know Mishima?
Yes, Mishima was a great friend of mine.
Wow, now I've read at least two of his books. I can't believe how he ended it though, can you?
Look, we're almost there. I can see my front door, apartment 417.
Kawabata-san, will you sign something for me? I only have this napkin. Excuse the miso sauce.
Usually I don't, but for you I'll make an exception.
Thank you, Kawabata-san. I will treasure it forever. Oh, no, there's no charge. Goodbye.
At 3 in the morning, too. Damnation. Why did I talk to that fool? One mentioned of Mishima, and I have the nightmares about his seppuku all over again. I see him sitting upright, bowed, his bloody entrails seeping from him. Then just as the swords come to take off his head, I wake up. His whole existence was leading up to that moment. And my thousand cranes. It had to be the only book he'd read. My most negative work. But pure, perhaps. Written with the purity of the past, of tradition. They're not going anywhere. I haven't read this in years. Ah, Mitani Kikuji, you young fool. Even when he reaches Kamakura at the Engaguchi Temple, Kikuji doesn't know whether or not he'll go to the tea ceremony. He's already late. He receives an invitation whenever Miss Kurimoto, who was his father's first mistress, offers tea at the inner cottage of the temple. But he hasn't been since his father's death. He thinks of the invitations as no more than formal gestures in memory of his father. Just then, two young women hurry up behind him. He stopped to let them pass.
Do you know whether the cottage Kurimoto has taken might be in this direction?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
One of the girls is beautiful. She carries a gift, wrapped in a traditional furoshiki handkerchief, printed with a pattern of the thousand cranes in white and pink.
I like your furoshiki.
Thank you.
Come in, come, Kikuji-san. What a delight. Please, it will be quite all right to come in from there.
Ladies only, is it, Kurimoto-san?
We did have a gentleman earlier, but he left. You are the one bright spot.
Hardly bright.
Oh, certainly you have all the qualifications. The one spot of blushing scarlet. What do you think of her? A nice girl, isn't she?
The one with a thousand crane, furoshiki?
The one who was standing here, the pretty one. She's the Inamura girl, Yukiko-san. What odd things you notice? I thought you two had come together. I was delighted.
What are you talking about?
You met on the way. It's a sign of a bond between you. And your father knew her father.
Oh.
The family had a rose silk business in Yokohama. You can look her over at your leisure. But there has been a complication. Ota-san is here, and her daughter is with her.
Kikuji has no idea his father's other mistress, Mrs. Ota, is at the tea ceremony too, the woman his father stayed with until he died.
I didn't invite her, but it's been the rule that anyone who happens to be in a locality can drop in. The other day, I even had some Americans. I'm sorry, but what am I to do when she gets wind of an affair? Of course, she doesn't know about you and the Inamura girl.
About me and the Inamura girl? But I...
Kikuji wants to say that he has not come prepared for an omiyai, a meeting to view a prospective bride. Somehow, the words won't come.
But Ota-san is the one who should be uncomfortable. You can pretend that nothing is wrong.
Well, she will know I'm here. I can't run away now.
Kikuji hasn't seen Mrs. Ota since his father's funeral.
This is Kikuji-san, old Mitani-san's son. And this is Ota-san and her daughter, Fumiko-san.
Hola, Fumiko. Kikuji-san, hajimemashite.
Kikuji-san, I haven't written in so long. And it's been so very long since I last saw you. You are studying tea then, are you?
I know nothing at all about it.
Really? But you have it in your blood?
Inamura-san, suppose you make tea for Kikuji-san. I don't believe you had your turn yet.
And which bowl should I use?
Let me see. The Oribe should do. It belonged to Kikuji-san's father. He was very fond of it, and he gave it to me. You must remember it. The pattern had the feel of the mountains about it. One of the best bowls I know for early spring. Your father often used it. We are just a little out of season, but then I thought that for Kikuji-san...
What difference does it make that my father owned it for a little while? It's 400 years old. It goes back to the Momoyama era and the great Rikyu himself. Tea masters have looked after it and passed it down through the centuries. My father is of very little importance.
Might I have some tea from the Oribe myself? You gave me a different one last time.
If you must, Ota-san.
It's beautiful. The green tea against the black. Like traces of growth in early spring.
Afterwards, there's a perfunctory inspection of tea utensils. As Kikuji watches the girls leave, Mrs. Ota moves closer to him.
I'm afraid I was very rude. I may have annoyed you, but when I saw you, it seemed the old days came flooding back.
Oh.
I meant to call you, and then somehow couldn't. Your father dying, and then your mother. You must be very lonely.
Yes, perhaps I am.
But what a gentleman you've become. You're not leaving yet?
Well, as a matter of fact, I...
There are so many things we must talk about sometime.
Kikuji-san!
My daughter has gone out into the garden. I must find her.
And what did Ota-san have to say?
Nothing in particular. Nothing at all.
You must be careful of her. So meek and gentle. But you can never tell what she's thinking.
I've got to go, I'm afraid.
But what about the Inamura girl? Did you like her?
A very nice girl. She would have seemed even nicer without the rest of you hovering around. You and Ota-san and father's ghost.
Ota-san has nothing to do with her.
It was wrong to raise her expectations.
Why? If it bothered you to have Ota-san here, I apologize. But you must remember that I didn't invite her.
I really have to go.
From a distance, he sees Mrs. Ota standing in the shadow of the main gate. He looks for a way of avoiding her. Nevertheless, he walks toward the gate.
I waited for you. I must seem brazen, but I had to say something more. If we had said goodbye there, I would have had no way of knowing when I might see you again.
What happened to your daughter?
Fumiko went on ahead. She was with a friend.
She knew, then, that you'd be waiting for me?
Yes.
I doubt she approves. It was clear that she did not want to see me.
It was a trial for Fumiko to see you.
Because my father caused her a great deal of pain?
Not at all. Your father was very good to her. At first, she would not be friendly, no matter how kind he was to her. But then, towards the end of the war, when the air raids were bad, she changed. I have no idea why. In her own way, she did her very best for him. But she was only a girl.
You know my mother hated you.
She had every right to.
Why did Fumiko do all this for my father?
Maybe it was because we didn't know from one day to the other whether we would still be alive. I suppose she was feeling sorry for me, and she wanted to help your father, too. Even when he was with me, your father would go home if there was an air raid warning. Fumiko would see him home, and no one could talk her out of it.
You seem to expect my sympathy.
I expect nothing. Not now.
Do you often go to Kurimoto-san's tea ceremonies? Didn't you have enough of her in the old days?
I had a letter from her after your father died. I missed your father a great deal. I was feeling very lonely.
Does your daughter always go too?
Fumiko? She just keeps me company. You know, you are so much like your father.
You are wrong. I'm nothing like him. And yet, you confide in me as if we were the same person.
You have the same eyes.
And so Kikuji becomes a lover of his father's mistress. Mrs. Ota is at least some 20 years older than Kikuji, but she makes him forget her age when they make love. He feels that he has a woman younger than himself in his arms, sharing a pleasure that comes from the woman's experience. Kikuji feels none of the embarrassed reticence of inexperience. He feels as if he has for the first time known a woman, and as if for the first time he has known himself as a man. It is an extraordinary awakening, yet not without complications.
Oh, it's so beautiful here. I never want to leave.
You remember that first afternoon at Kurimoto-san's? The girl sitting on your left?
Yes, Yukiko. And her thousand cranes.
Kurimoto invited me so that I could inspect her.
What? No. So it wasn't Omiya, was it? Oh, I never suspected.
It wasn't an Omiya, not as far as I was concerned.
Oh, wait. So on the way from an Omiya, you allowed me to seduce you? It was wrong. Wrong! Why didn't you tell me?
If it's wrong, it's wrong. Whether I'm on the way home from Nomiya or not, I don't see the relationship between the two.
How could I have done it? The things I'm guilty of.
Maybe Kurimoto-san was out for revenge against my father.
Let's not talk about that repulsive woman. Let's forget about it. It was nothing. Nothing at all.
While we've been together, have you been remembering my father?
What? If you say so, I have no answer.
You needn't lie to me. Let's have a look at you.
You won't stare. I'm not young anymore.
Some 2 weeks later, Mrs. Ota's daughter, Fumiko, calls on Kikuji. He has a maid show her in. At first, he has no idea if she has come alone or if her mother is waiting outside.
I've kept you waiting. I'm sorry. It's a little stuffy in here. Let me open the French windows. Please sit down.
I really should have telephoned first.
Not at all. But I'm surprised you were able to find the place.
I have a request to make about my mother. I want you to forgive her.
To forgive her? I'm the one to be forgiven, if anyone is.
It is my mother's fault that your father died so soon.
You are imagining things. You shouldn't be so unkind to her.
Mother should have died first.
I'm sorry if I've brought shame on you.
I want you to forgive her.
It's not a question of forgiving or not forgiving. I'm grateful to your mother.
She's bad. She's no good. And you must have nothing more to do with her. You are not to worry yourself about her.
I don't know what to say.
Don't see her again. Please don't see her again, I beg you. Yesterday, she made an appointment to see you over the telephone and didn't keep it. I stopped her. When she tried to go out, I hung on to her and it wouldn't let her go. Afterwards, I felt sorry for her. But at the time, it was so wretched.
Why did you leave your mother to wait for me after Kurimoto-san's tea party?
Because I wanted you to know that she was not as bad as you might have thought.
On the contrary, she is quite the reverse.
Now it is I who am sorry.
I'd like to talk more with you. About my father, I mean.
I have stayed too long. I must go. But you will be getting married soon.
I will?
Yes. Mother said so. It was an omiyai with Inamura Yukiko-san, she said.
It was not.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Are you going straight home from the office?
Who is this? Kurimoto-san?
Yes, it's me. You recognize my voice. Just answer my simple question.
Well...
You go straight home, for your father's sake. This is the day he had his tea ceremony every year. I could hardly sit still thinking about it. I was cleaning the tea cottage, and all of a sudden I wanted to do some cooking.
Where are you calling from?
Your house. I'm at your house. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said so. I just couldn't sit still. I thought I'd feel better if you would let me clean the cottage. I should have telephoned first, I know. But you'd have been sure to refuse me.
Kikuchi hasn't used a tea cottage since his father's death. It was Miss Kurimoto who took care of the cottage while his father was alive. A maid who has been with the family from his father's time airs it several times a year.
How long has it been since you last cleaned the place? I cannot get rid of the mildew no matter how hard I rub. And while I was cleaning, I wanted to do some cooking. The idea just came to me, so I hope you'll come right home.
Don't you think you're being a little forward?
You'll be lonely by yourself. Do you suppose someone who shares the tea ceremony with your father could come? But we couldn't at this hour. Shall I call the Inamura girl?
You're joking.
Why shouldn't I call her? The Inamuras are very interested in you. And this will be your chance to see the girl again, to have a good look at her and talk to her. I'll just call her up. If she comes, it will be a sign that as far as she's concerned, everything's settled.
I don't like anything about the idea, and I won't be coming home anyway.
This isn't the sort of question we settle over the telephone. We'll talk about it later. Well, that's how things are. Come right home now.
How things are? What are you talking about?
Oh, don't worry. I'm just being bored. But hurry now. I'll be waiting.
Kikuchi goes straight to Ginza, into a dirty little bar.
Sake.
A good day, Kikuchi-san.
He fishes for a while in the bar, finishes his drink, then starts for home. As the train approaches Tokyo Central Station, he looks down upon a tree-lined avenue. The western sun pours into it, and the street glitters like a sheet of metal. The trees, with the sun behind them, are darkened almost to black. The shadows are cool. The branches wide. The leaves thick. Solid occidental buildings line the street. There are strangely few people. The street is quiet and empty all the way to the Palace Moat. The dazzlingly bright streetcar, too, are quiet. Looking down from the crowded train, he feels that the avenue alone floats in this strange time of evening, that it has been dropped here from some foreign country. He has a sudden illusion that the Inamura girl is walking in the shade of the trees, and that her arm is a package wrapped in the pink furoshiki with 1,000 white cranes. He can see the birds vividly. He senses something fresh and clean. His chest rises. Even now, the girl might be arriving at his door.
You are alone?
Of course.
It's better that way. She's here. Oh, you made a stop on the way home, I see.
I suppose I shouldn't be surprised at anything you do.
I have laid out a kimono for you. Do you want me to help?
Don't bother. I can manage by myself.
Kikuji withdraws to his room, but Miss Kurimoto is waiting when he comes out.
Aunt Butcher's very remarkable.
Very.
But it's not a good way to live.
I learned my lesson from watching my father.
I suppose the cottage would be best. I have her in a parlor now.
Is there a light out there? I don't remember having seen one.
You might eat by candlelight. That would be even more interesting.
Not for me.
When I spoke to Inamura-san over the telephone, she asked if I meant that her mother was to come too. I said it would be still better if we could have the two of them, but there were reasons why the mother couldn't come.
Don't you suppose she thought it just a little rude being summoned out with no warning?
No doubt, but here she is. And doesn't that cancel out my rudeness?
Why should it?
Oh, it does. She's here, and that means that, as far as she's concerned...
Kikuji walks down the veranda toward the parlor. He struggled to control himself. He must not show displeasure when he receives the Inamura girl. The French windows are open, and he sees her. Her brightness seems to light the far corners of the large, dusky room.
Hello again.
Hello.
Shall we go to the tea cottage? It must have upset you being called here by Kurimoto. It was her idea to bring you here.
Kurimoto-san says that this is your day of your father's tea ceremony.
So it would seem. I had forgotten about it myself.
Do you suppose she's being odd inviting someone like me on a day like this? I haven't been practicing, I'm afraid.
If we are to be friends, I can't help thinking we would have done better to have someone besides Kurimoto introduce us. I should apologize to you.
Why? Who could have introduced us?
I hope you won't mind if I join you. It's a little lonely being an only guest, but I'm sure Kikuji-san's father is happy too.
Well, since you're here...
I'm hardly qualified to be in your father's cottage.
Nonsense! You will learn more about tea soon. Come, let us eat.
When they finish dinner, Miss Kurimoto goes to prepare the tea utensils.
The evening sun is beautiful here.
Yes, it is. Thank goodness she's gone.
I am happy to have come.
Really? Well, she thinks the marriage is already arranged.
I can't believe that.
So it is our fate to have Kurimoto managing us. You and I do not seem to have the same view of that fate.
I don't share your distrust, and I can't be used, so why do you fear you will be? Listen. Can you hear them? The cranes.
The next day, Sunday, is rainy. In the afternoon, Kikuji goes alone to the tea cottage to put away the utensil they used. He goes too in search of the fragrance of the Inamura girl. The previous evening, Miss Kurimoto left with the girl and the maid cleaned the cottage. His only duty is to put away the utensils piled in the corner. But he's not sure where they all belong. And then he sees a figure through the window.
Ota-san? What's the matter?
I'm so sorry. I wanted to see you and I couldn't stay away.
Who let you in?
The maid. Please, we must talk.
You look so thin. Have you been ill?
Please, I have to talk to you.
You'll get wet. Come inside.
I can stand myself. I'm fine. Let me go. how light I am?
Very light.
I've lost weight.
Let me make us some tea. It'll warm you up. Won't Fumiko be worried? Is she with you? In the house?
She won't take her eyes off me. At night she's awake if I make the slightest move. She's been strange herself lately, thanks to me. She asked me why I only had one child. She said I should have had a child by your father. Said such dreadful things.
I'm sorry.
Maybe she'll even come after me today. I slipped out while she was gone. It's raining and she thought I wouldn't leave.
Just because of the rain?
She seems to think I'm too weak to go out now. Fumiko came to see you the other day.
I did see her. She said I must forgive you. And I couldn't think of an answer.
You don't have to forgive me. Why have I come then? The things I do.
But I've felt grateful to you.
It's good to hear you say that. But I've been very unhappy. You must forgive me.
What is there to make you feel guilty? Nothing at all. Maybe my father's ghost.
Let's forget everything. I'm ashamed of myself. Why should I have been so upset at a call from Kurimoto-san?
Kurimoto telephoned you.
Yes. She said that everything was settled between you and Inamura-san's Yukiko-san. I wonder why she had to tell me.
Nothing at all is settled. Do you suppose Kurimoto has guessed about us? Have you seen her since?
No. But she's a person you have to be careful with. And she may know. I must have sounded strange when she telephoned me this morning. I'm no good at pretending. I almost fainted and I suppose I screamed at her. She could tell. I know she could. Even over the telephone. I don't want to interfere. I've only thought of the harm I've done Yukiko-san. But I just couldn't stay in the house. Where did you meet Yukiko? In this cottage?
Yes.
It's a very nice cottage.
This is the first time you've been here?
Yes.
And you've never been in the main house?
Never.
Can that be true? I wonder.
I was there once. Your father's funeral.
The water is boiling. Suppose we have tea. You'll feel better afterwards. As a matter of fact, I'd like some myself.
Your father was good enough to buy that tea bowl from me.
Really? I didn't know.
I can bring it for you.
No, let me. Don't stand up. Wake up. Wake up.
Where am I?
You fainted. I carried you inside.
I just want to sleep.
Can't you see the difference between my father and me? You think of him when we make love, don't you? My father and I become one person.
Forgive me. The things I've done. Things I've been guilty of. I want to die. It would be so pleasant to die now. You were about to strangle me. Why didn't you?
You aren't to joke about it.
My throat is thin. You should have no trouble.
Could you die and leave your daughter behind?
It makes no difference. I'll wear out and die soon in any case. Take care.
tomorrow, Fumiko. See. See how my heart is beating. It won't be long now. How old are you?
You know the answer to that.
Still in your 20s. It's wrong, what we've been doing. I'm so very unhappy. I don't understand myself.
You mustn't talk like that.
I didn't come here to spoil things for you and Yukiko-san, but it's done.
I haven't decided to marry her. But the truth is that you've washed clean my whole past for me.
Really?
Kurimoto is my father's woman too. And now she's the go-between. All the poison from the old days is in that woman. My father was lucky to have you at the end.
You must hurry and marry Yukiko-san.
That's for me to decide.
The room is spinning around. I have to go home.
You should stay here.
No. Fumiko will be worried. I must go.
Very well. I will call you a cab.
At 2 the next morning, there's a call from Fumiko.
Hello? Kikuchi-san? My mother has just died.
What? What happened?
Mother is dead. She had a heart attack. She has been taking a great deal of sleeping medicine lately. I'm afraid I must ask a favor, Kikuchi-san.
Yes?
Is there a doctor you know well? And if it seems possible, could you bring him here?
A doctor? You need a doctor?
Kikuchi is astonished that no doctor has yet been called. Then suddenly he realizes Mrs. Ota has killed herself. The girl is asking him to hide the fact.
I understand.
Please.
When she hangs up, Kikuchi sits by the telephone for a long time and closes his eyes. He sees the evening sun as he saw it after the first night with Mrs. Ota. The evening sun through the train windows, behind the grove of the temple when they first talked. The red light seemed to flow down through the branches. The grove stands dark against it. The Inamura girl's white crane fly across the sky, and the sun sinks into his tired eyes. My hands are trembling. I don't remember the book like that at all. What a strange experience to read something you've written 20 years before and see it in a completely different light. I used to think of the tragedy of Mrs. Ota as something pitiful. Now I have more sympathy. She was a brave and principled woman. I haven't attended a tea ceremony in years, but my own book has taken me there. Back to the past, its formality, its precision, its respect for what's gone before. All of it vanished. And what of my fate? What do I have to look forward to now? I might as well give up on sleep. I will read to the end. On the day after the memorial service, Kikuchi makes his visit to Mrs. Ota's house. He stops by on his way home from the office. He meant to leave work a little early, but the day is over before he's able to collect himself.
Oh.
I'm sorry to visit so late, Fumiko-san.
Thank you for the flowers yesterday.
Not at all.
I thought I wouldn't see you.
People do sometimes send flowers ahead and go themselves later.
Even so, I didn't expect you.
I sent them from a florist very near here.
There was no name, but I knew immediately.
In the center of the room, Kikuchi sees his chrysanthemums, Mrs. Ota's photograph, and the urn containing her ashes. Fumiko goes to sit on the bare straw matting
while he remained standing.
I thought it was best to stay away from the service yesterday.
You should have come. I can't tell you how happy I was to have the flowers.
I didn't want to upset your relatives.
That sort of thing doesn't worry me anymore.
I see you've put the flowers in a Shino jar.
Yes. I thought it would be right.
It's a fine piece.
Mother sometimes used it for flowers. That's why it wasn't sold.
Kikuji kneels to light incense before the urn. He folds his hands and closes his eyes. Mrs. Ota's image fails to come to him, but the warmth of her touch enfolds him, making him drunk with her smell. Unable to sleep since her death, Kikuji has been taking sedatives with sake. He has had many dreams. They are not nightmares. On awakening, he'll be drowsy and sweetly drunk. That a dead woman can make her embrace felt in one's dreams seems eerie to Kikuji. He's young and unprepared for such an experience. Now, as he kneels before her ashes, he asks himself what made her do it.
It was the picture of your mother taken at a tea ceremony.
How did you know?
It has that feeling. The eyes are lowered, and she seems to be busy at something. You can't see the shoulders, but you can feel a sort of concentration in her manner.
I wondered if it would do. It was taken a little from the side, but it's a picture Mother was fond of.
It's a very quiet picture. A very good picture.
I can see now there was a mistake. She doesn't look at you when you offer her incense.
That's true, I suppose.
She's looking away and down. Mother weighed more when the picture was taken. And it would have embarrassed me to have a picture that looked too much like myself.
Kikuji sees his escape in the Shino jar holding the flowers. He kneels before it and looks at it appraisingly as one looks at tea vessels. A faint red floats up from beneath the white glaze. He reaches to touch the voluptuous and warmly cool surface.
Soft, like a dream. Even when you know as little as I do, you can appreciate good Shino.
Let me give it to you in memory of my mother.
Oh, no. Please.
Mother would be happy. I know she will. It's not a bad piece, I should imagine.
It's a splendid piece.
That's why I put your flowers in it.
I'll take it, then, if I may. But it seems sad for Tivas to be leaving the tea ceremony.
I'm thinking of giving up tea myself. Kikuchi-san, you must forgive my mother.
What are you saying? It is I who must ask to be forgiven. I've been trying to think of the right words, but there's no way to apologize, and I'm ashamed to be here with you.
We are both the ones who should be ashamed. I wish I could just disappear.
I thought how you must hate me.
Hate you? Do you think Mother hated you?
No, but wasn't it I who made her kill herself?
She died because of herself. If you say it was you who made her die, then it was I even more. If I have to blame anyone, it should be myself.
That may be true. But if I hadn't met her...
I think it's enough if the dead person can be forgiven. Mother died asking to be forgiven. Can you forgive her?
Your mother was too gentle to live. I was cruel to her. It was my moral weakness. I'm a coward.
Mother was wrong. Mother was so wrong. Your father, then you. But I have to think that Mother's real nature was different. The day after my mother died, she began to seem more beautiful to me. Is it just in my mind? Or is she really more beautiful?
There's no way of telling with the dead.
Maybe Mother died from not being able to stand her own shame.
That doesn't seem likely.
It was too much. She couldn't bear it.
The dead are our property in a way. We must take care of them. My father, my mother, and now your mother. They all died in such a hurry. You're an orphan now, and so am I. You were very good to my father. Your mother told me so.
Forgive her. Mother was really too sad. I hardly knew from one minute to the next when she might die. I'm sorry.
I'll be leaving.
Here, take it. I'm afraid it will be heavy, but try not to mind too much.
Oh.
You must.
If I may, then.
But I won't come around to see how you use it.
Why not? Well, take care of yourself.
Thank you. It was good of you to come again. And don't worry about Mother. Hurry up and get married.
I beg your pardon?
Kikuji tries putting white roses and pale carnations into the shino jar. They don't look quite right, but he leaves them there nonetheless. He is haunted by the thought that he's fallen in love with Mrs. Ota now that she's dead. And he feels that his love is made real through her daughter. A week after his visit, on a Sunday, he telephones her.
Fumiko-san?
Kikuji-san, you're at home by yourself?
Yes, it's a little bit lonely, of course.
You shouldn't be alone.
I suppose not.
I can almost hear the quiet.
Suppose you come and see me then.
Thank you. One of these days.
Have you been well?
I've lost weight.
Are you able to sleep? That will never do.
I'm thinking of closing the house soon and taking a room at a friend's place.
Soon? When will that be?
As soon as I can sell the house.
You really mean to sell it?
Don't you think I should?
I wonder. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of selling my own. Listen, there's no use talking about these things on the phone. It's Sunday. Can you come over? I have flowers in this shino, but if you come over, I can try putting it to the use it was meant for.
A tea ceremony?
Not a real ceremony, but it's a great waste not to use shino for tea. You can't bring out the real beauty of a tea piece unless you set it off against its old kind.
But I look even worse than when you were here. I can't see you.
There will be no other guest.
Even so.
You won't reconsider?
Goodbye.
Take care of yourself. Excuse me. There seems to be someone at the door. I'll call again. Kurimoto-san.
It's been so gloomy. Rain. The first good day in such a long time. And I'm taking advantage of it. Here, take these. It's just some sweets and the fun. I suppose the cottage will be all mildewed again.
I suppose so.
Oh, Ota-san's shino. May I look at it? Did you buy it?
It was a present.
Quite a present. A keepsake? Really, shouldn't you have paid for a piece like this? I'm a little shocked you took it from the girl.
I'll give it some thought.
Please do. You have all sorts of tea pieces that belong to Ota-san's husband. But your father paid for every one of them. Even after he was, how shall we say, taking care of her.
That's not a matter I want to discuss with you.
I see. So, Ota-san committed suicide?
She did not.
Huh? But I knew immediately. There was always something weird about that woman. Your father used to say he would never understand her. To another woman, of course, the problem was a little different. But there was something childish about her, no matter how old she got. Well, she wasn't my sort.
sticky and clinging somehow.
May I ask you to stop slandering the dead?
Oh, please do. But isn't this particular dead person still trying to ruin your marriage? Your father suffered a great deal at the hands of that person. You are too young to understand such people. For your sake, it was good for her to die. That's the truth.
I said stop.
Were we to stand for it, having her interfere with your marriage plans? She died because she couldn't keep down the devil in her, even when she knew she was doing wrong. That's the truth, too. And then, being the woman she was, she thought she would die and go meet your father. I'm going out to the cottage to quiet my nerves.
Kikuji sits for a long time looking at the flowers. The white and pale pinks seem to melt into mist with the shino. The figure of Fumiko weeping alone in her house comes to him. In the middle of the night, he's awoken by a storm.
Come on, Fumiko.
Ota-san has moved.
What? I beg your pardon? Who is this?
I am the maid.
I'm sorry, it's the middle of the night. I wonder if you could tell me where she is living.
Just a moment, please.
Kikuji is surprised how much he wants to talk to Fumiko. The maid returns and gives him the address and phone number. He calls her at once. When she answers, her voice is bright, like her mother's.
Hello?
Fumiko-san. This is Kikuji. I called your house.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When did you move? And you didn't tell me.
I've been staying with a friend for several days now. I saw the house.
Oh.
I didn't know whether I should have told you or not. At first, I thought I shouldn't. But lately, I've begun to feel guilty.
You ought to.
You really think so?
I do. The shino you gave me. When I look at it, I want to see you.
Oh. I have another. A little cylindrical teabowl. I thought of letting you have that too, but Mother used it as an everyday teacup. It has a lipstick on it.
Oh.
Oh, so Mother used to say.
The lipstick was just left there.
Not just left there. The shino was reddish to begin with, but Mother used to say that she couldn't rub the lipstick from the rim, no matter how hard she tried. I sometimes look at it now that she's dead. There does seem to be a sort of flush in one place.
We're having a real storm here. How is it there?
Really bad. I'm terrified of the thunder.
But it should be pleasant in the morning. If you have nothing else to do tomorrow, why not come over?
Thank you. I've been meaning to stop by. I'm so glad you called. I will see you. But I shouldn't really... See you again, of course.
The following day, the doorbell rings shortly after lunch. Kikuji thinks it will be Fumiko, but it is Miss Kurimoto again.
Oh, you.
Hasn't it become warm? I've been neglecting you, and I thought I should look in.
I haven't been entirely well.
Your color isn't good.
Have you had some new teeth made? You look younger.
I had spare time during the rainy seasons. They are white at first, but they turn yellow before you know it. They'll be all right. What did you do with Ota-san's shino?
That is not your business.
Shouldn't you send it back?
That, I think, is up to me.
I'm afraid not.
It's hardly your place to be giving orders.
That's not quite true either. I came here today to tell you what I think. If you don't get rid of that witch Fumiko...
You sound very threatening.
But I'm the go-between, and I'm to have my say.
If you're talking about the Inamura girl, I'm sorry to have to refuse your proposal.
Now, that's very small of you, turning down a girl you like just because you can't stand the go-between. The go-between is a bridge. Go ahead, step on the bridge. Your father was quite happy to.
Don't bring my father into it.
I'm telling you the truth. I'm different from Ota-san. as things went with your father, I was a very easy proposition. I see no reason to hide the truth. I was unfortunately not his favorite. Just when it started, it was over. But I have no regrets. He was good enough to use me afterwards, when it was convenient for him. Like most men, he found it easier to use a woman he had had an affair with. And so, thanks to him, I developed a good, healthy strain of common sense.
I see.
You should make use of my healthy common sense. It is so hot and clammy here.
I think you better be going. It's cool outside.
Ota-san died to stop you marrying. She didn't just die. There was more to it. Perhaps she thought, mightn't Kikuji look after my daughter?
Your lies and inventions are absurd. You told Ota-san about the Inamura girl, didn't you? It was you, wasn't it, who told her everything was arranged?
I did. I told her not to interfere. It was the night she died.
Did she come weeping to you?
Of course she did. She screamed at me over the telephone.
Then it's very much as if you killed her, isn't it?
I suppose that conclusion makes things easier for you. Well, I'm used to being the villain. When your father needed a villain, he found me perfect. It's not exactly that I'm returning an old favor, but I'm here to play the villain today.
You are jealous.
Let's not worry about what went on behind the scenes. I don't care in the least if you stand there glowering at the nasty old woman who comes meddling. Before long, I'll have got rid of that witch and made a good marriage for you. I don't want to talk about Ota-san any more than you do. I don't mean that she was bad. She was only hoping that when she died, her daughter would naturally go to you.
There you go again.
But isn't it the truth? Do you really think that while she was alive, she didn't think about marrying the daughter off to you? Waking and sleeping and brooding over your father, almost bewitched? I used to think...
Fumiko-san, Kurimoto is here.
Yes, I can see her umbrella. It doesn't make any difference as far as I'm concerned.
You had better come in then.
Oh, it's no surprise you are here. Your mother was such a gentle person. I always felt when I saw her that I was watching the last flowers fall. This is no world for gentle people.
Mother wasn't as gentle as all that.
You must be lonely. Suppose you take up tea again. It will give you something to think about.
I'm afraid I can't afford such luxuries.
Come now. As a matter of fact, I'm here to air the cottage. The rain seems to be over. Since Fumiko-san is here, shall we?
I beg your pardon?
I thought I might be allowed to use the chino piece you have, and we can all exchange memories.
I'll only weep if I go to the cottage.
We'll all have a good cry. I won't have my way with the cottage once Kikuji-san married. It's full of memories, of course, but then once we've arranged everything...
You'll only embarrass the Inamuras, talking plans that aren't definite.
I'm speaking of a possible engagement. But you are right. It's the good things in life that attracts the villains. You must pretend you've had nothing, Fumiko-san. And now I must go to the cottage.
Be careful. The leaves are still slippery in the shade.
It was raining so hard when you called. I was terrified of the thunder.
So you said.
I suppose I'm like my mother. When I was little... Mother used to cover my head with her kimono sleeves whenever it thundered. Here. I brought her tea bowl. The one we talked about.
Fumiko-san.
Take it. You can see the color of her lipstick against the black. I doubt if it's a very good piece.
I'm sure it's very good indeed, but I can't take it.
Still, he doesn't reach for the bowl.
It is just as Fumiko described it. The white glaze carries a faint suggestion of red. As he stares at it, Mrs. Ota comes to him again, warm and naked.
It's a fine piece. Strong. Dignified.
Please.
Okay. I will accept it. But I will put it away. There will be trouble if Kurimoto sees it.
Yes. You're right.
It was something of a shock to hear that you'd moved.
I could never live by myself.
Have you found work?
No. If I'm honest with myself, there's nothing I'm qualified to do. I hated the thought of talking to you while I was still drifting, with no house, no work, nothing.
At such times, you should talk to me. I'm still thinking of selling this place too.
You'll be married then, I suppose.
How can I get married now?
You should think of my mother as something finished long ago.
Come, let us see what Kurimoto has been up to. I fear the worst.
Kikuji-san, would you mind taking out Ota-san's water jar?
You're joking. Fumiko is here. Couldn't you use one of ours?
Can't you see that? I want to use it because she is here. We'll have this keepsake with us while we exchange memories of her mother.
But you hated her so.
Not at all. We just weren't meant for each other. And how can you hate a dead person? I couldn't understand her, and then in some ways, I understood her too well.
You've always been fond of understanding people too well.
I don't mind if you use Hashino.
Yoishotto.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yoisho.
Now. How do you like the company I put it in? You can't bring a water jar to life unless you use it for tea. It's a great waste cramming flowers into it.
Mother used it for flowers too.
It's like a dream, us sitting here with this souvenir of your mother. I'm sure she's as happy to see it here as we are.
I've given up tea myself.
Oh, you mustn't say that. I do feel most at peace when I'm allowed to sit here. I go to all sorts of tea cottages, of course. Next year will be the 5th anniversary of your father's death. We must have a tea ceremony.
I suppose so.
Don't you think it would be fun?
This cottage always smells of some moldy poison, and a really false ceremony might drive the poison away. Have it in memory of my father and make it my farewell to tea.
What you're saying is that a meddlesome old woman comes to air the place.
Perhaps I am.
You mustn't. But then I suppose it's all right to sever old relations when you've struck up new ones. Listen to his jokes. Fumiko-san, you must wonder whether this souvenir boy of mother hasn't come to the wrong place. I almost feel that I can see your mother's face in it.
Your every remark is an insult.
These little watches are no good when you are long-sighted. Suppose you give me your father's pocket watch.
He had no pocket watch.
Oh, but he did. He often had one with him. When he went to Fumiko-san's house too, I'm sure. 2:10, is it? The hands are running together in one big blur. Inamura-san has been kind enough to organize a tea group and practice at 3. I thought I'd just stop by for your answer before I went.
Tell her very clearly that I'll have to refuse.
I see. I'm to tell her very clearly, am I?
Maybe we could have Inamura-san buy the house. I'll be selling it anyway.
Fumiko-san, suppose we walk at least part of the way together.
Don't listen to her.
I don't mind.
I'll just go to the house and start putting things away.
Please, let me help you.
You still have time to talk to me. Don't go off with her.
I'm afraid not to.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
I'm sorry I came today.
Don't be. Suppose you go and help her, and then come back here when you've got rid of her.
No. Look, I really must go.
When we are young, it seems so hard to control our lives. Only when we are older can we see we had more control than we perhaps imagined. Poor Kikuji, unable to make up his mind about anything. There he is, messing up both of his chances at love. I, too, could never decide on the best course of action when life threw me insoluble dilemmas. Only when we reach the end of our lives is anything clear. I am old myself now, and my eyes are in their last extremity. Poor Mishima, he never got to see things as they really are, clear, stark, beautiful. I should finish what I started. A whole year later, Miss Kurimoto returns unexpectedly one evening to deliver some news.
Well, well, it must be hard being a bachelor. You have to lie in the dark, and no one will turn the light on for you.
How did you get in?
The maid. Oh no, please, stay as you are. I've just returned from Kyoto. I stayed at the house of tea master. We talked and talked about your father. Really, it was the first good talk in such a long time. And I found when I got back that something very unfortunate had happened. I was shocked. A terrible thing. I don't know how to face you. The Inamura girl is married.
Oh, when?
When, says he, as if it didn't concern him.
I gave you my refusal more than once.
At least on the surface you did. So you wanted it to seem. But I imagine you like the young lady well enough.
Very nice young lady.
I saw it all.
The fact that I think she's a nice girl doesn't mean that I wanted to marry her.
Kikuji feels a stabbing at the heart. He struggled to draw the girl's face in his mind, but it's impossible. He only met her twice, and her face eludes him. He only remembers a pink handkerchief and 1,000 white cranes. The second time she came, Kikuji imagined the girl's perfume lingered in the tea cottage.
Well, most men wouldn't let the girl get away while they were thinking what a nice girl she was. After all, there's only one Yukiko in the world. You won't find her again even if you spend your whole life looking. You are inexperienced and you pamper yourself.
Is this really necessary?
Fireflies in a jar. At this time of year, it's almost autumn. There are still fireflies out there, like ghosts. If you had a wife, she wouldn't depress you with end-of-the-season things. I thought arranging your marriage would be a service to your father.
A service?
Yes. And what else happens while you lie in the dark staring at the fireflies? The Ota girl gets married, too.
Fumiko? When?
I was just as shocked as you, coming back from Kyoto and hearing about it. Both of them running off and getting married as if they'd talked it over beforehand. Young people don't give much notice, do they? There I was, feeling pleased that Fumiko had kindly removed herself, when I find out that Inamura girl was married too. And the way she did it, she might as well have slapped me in the face. Well, it's all because of your indecisiveness.
I cannot believe it.
Did Ota-san succeed in ruining your marriage after all, even if she had to die to do it? This is the gloomiest garden I've ever been in. Even in the dark, I can see how you've let the trees grow. They need a good pruning.
Kikuji looks out toward the cottage. In front of it, there's a large oleander, heavy with blossoms, a vague white blur. For the rest, the night is so dark that he has trouble following the line between the trees and the sky.
Hello?
Is that Kikuji-san?
Fumiko-san? Is it really you?
Yes, it's me.
I still recognize your voice after all this time.
I ought to see you in person, but there's something I must apologize for. If I don't tell you now, it will be too late.
I don't understand.
I posted a letter yesterday, and I seem to have forgotten a stamp.
Oh, it hasn't come yet.
I bought 10 stamps when I posted it, but I still had 10 when I got home. I must have been thinking of something else. I wanted to apologize before you got the letter.
Is that all? Really, shouldn't worry. Well, this calls for congratulations.
What? This is the first time I've written.
Where are you calling from?
Tokyo Central Station. Oh, someone's waiting for the booth.
You know, you should have told me. Ever since I heard it from Kurimoto, I've been wondering whether I should congratulate you.
On getting some work? How does she know?
Work can't be easy in the hottest part of the year. And newly married, too.
Married? Did you say married?
You are married, aren't you?
Me?
Didn't you get married?
No. No. How could I possibly with Mother dead for only a year?
I see.
Kurimoto-san said I was married.
She did.
Why? Why did she say it? And you believed her?
Listen, this is no good over the telephone. Can't I see you? Can't you come to my office?
What about your house?
Okay. I'm leaving now. If you get there first, the maid will let you in.
Taking a train from Tokyo Central, Fumiko will be there ahead of him. He wonders if they might not be on the same train. He looks for her desperately in the crowd. When he reaches home, he discovers her letter there, unopened. He picks it up and goes out into the garden. He sees Fumiko sitting on a rock in the shade of the white oleander. She's wearing a white cotton dress trimmed at the pocket and a turned-down collar with narrow band of deep blue. The light of the western sun falls on Kikuji from over the oleander.
It's good to see you.
And you?
I was very surprised.
Surprised that I was married or that I wasn't?
Well, both. When I heard you were married, and again when I heard that you weren't. I was lying on the veranda one night when in marched Kurimoto and told me.
Did you believe it?
Well, it was the sort of lie I could hardly believe anyone could tell.
You didn't even doubt it? How could I possibly get married now? Mother and I both suffered together, and the suffering is still here.
Not long ago, I asked you the same thing. I asked if you thought I could possibly marry. The night of the storm. Now you say it to me.
But it's different.
You said several times I would be getting married.
But your case is not the same. You're different from me.
How?
Your position. Your place.
My position?
I mean, the degree of sorrow.
The degree of sorrow?
Yes.
It's the degree of love.
And there is the question of you and Yukiko. That makes you different too.
But Kurimoto said that Inamura girl was married as well.
A lie. A lie. That's a lie too. When?
When did she get married? Very recently, I suppose.
It's sure to be a lie. No one gets married in this heat. In a kimono, sweat pouring off. Can you imagine it?
So there's no such thing as a summer wedding?
Only now and then. People put weddings off until the autumn.
Why should Kurimoto-san tell such lies?
She took me in, did she?
Well, as long as we don't know whether it's a lie or the truth, we don't know the extent of Kurimoto-san's prankishness.
Prankishness?
Yes. If I hadn't telephoned today, I'd have been left married. A fine prank.
Your letter. No stamp.
No. You're not to look at it.
She throws herself upon him. And now he wants to cry out at her astonishing suppleness. He's intensely conscious of the woman. Her neck and bare arms are damp with perspiration. More than anything, he is conscious of Fumiko's mother.
Give it back to me.
He remembers her embrace.
I'm going to tear it up.
No!
You have been using my mother's ball.
I have.
I was sorry afterwards that I'd given it to you. I mentioned it in my letter.
What did you say?
I apologized for having given you a bad piece of shino.
It's not a bad piece at all.
It can't be any good. Mother used it as an ordinary teacup.
I don't really know, but I imagine that it's very good shino.
The bowl reminds you of another, and the other is better.
There don't seem to be any small piece of shino in my father's collection.
You don't know when you might see one. He must have seen much finer pieces.
You're saying that a person can give only the best pieces?
Yes, that is what I think. I asked you in my letter to smash it and throw it away.
To break it? To break this? It is from an old shino kiln and it must be 300 or 400 years old. At first it was probably an ordinary table piece, but a long time has gone by since it became a tea bowl. People watched over it and passed it on. I can't just smash it because you tell me to.
I'm not just being childish. I really wish you would break it. You liked the water jar I gave you, and I remembered the others, you know, and I thought it would go with that jar. But afterwards, I was ashamed.
I shouldn't be using it as a teacup. It's much too good.
There are so many better pieces.
You really think that you can't give away anything but the best?
It depends on the person and the circumstances.
I seem to remember my father had a portable tea chest. He used to take it with him when he went traveling. The bowl he kept in it must be much worse than this. It's still in the cottage.
What kind of bowl is it?
I've never seen it myself.
Show it to me. It's sure to be better. And if it is, may I break the shino?
Certainly not. I'm bringing it with me.
After dinner, they go out into the garden in the dark. Once inside the cottage, they find a cedarwood tea chest and open it.
If I may see it then.
It's a bit dusty.
It's a karatsu.
It's a very good bowl.
It's strong, dignified. Much better than the shino.
Can you compare shino and karatsu?
You can if you see them together.
Wonderful when you see them side by side like that. A man's and a woman's.
It must have been a favorite your father took with him on his trips. It's very much like your father.
And the shino is very much like your mother. They are like the souls of them both.
It's like death waiting at your feet. I'm frightened.
Don't be afraid. When you're held by the dead, you begin to feel that you aren't of this world yourself. Why don't we use the bowls as if we're on a trip together?
Yes. May I use the shino one last time before I break it?
You're not still thinking...
Shh! We're on a trip.
Off on a trip. Now we're at an inn.
It doesn't have to be an inn. A riverbank or a mountaintop. Maybe cold water would have been better to make us think of the mountains. Here. And now, my mother's bowl.
It must be very hard to whisk in such a small bowl. Your hands are trembling.
I can't do it. Mother won't let me.
What? No, no, no!
This is much better, Shinono.
After she breaks her mother's bowl, there's no resistance from Fumiko. They go back to the house and become lovers that night. Always before, she was Mrs. Ota's daughter. Now, the idea has quite left him that the mother's body is in a subtle way transferred to the daughter to lure him to strange fantasies. It is as if an addict has been freed of his addiction by taking the ultimate dose of a drug. At sunrise the following morning, Kikuji goes out to the tea cottage. The broken sino lies on the stepping stone before the basin. He put together four large pieces to form a bowl, but a sizable piece is missing from the rim. He raises his eyes. A large star is shining to the east. It is some years since he had last seen the morning star. He stands looking at it until the sky begins to cloud over. Then he throws the pieces of the bowl down again. He picks up the pieces and put them in the sleeve of his night kimono. He'll be sad to leave them there. And besides, he's afraid Kurimoto might come calling. He returns to the house, wraps the pieces in paper, puts them in a drawer, and goes back to bed. But Kikuji doesn't sleep. Fumiko has already left for her work just after sunrise. Kikuji reaches his own office just after midday. He decides to telephone her. She works for a wool wholesaler in Kanda, but she isn't at work. Has she gone home in shame? In the afternoon, he tries again and is told she is not at work. He has long ago lost her new address. It would have been on the letter from yesterday, but Fumiko tore it up and put all the pieces in her pocket. He learns that she lived with a friend in a rooming house behind Ueno Park.
Is Fumiko here?
Ota-san is out, I'm afraid. She said she was going away.
Away? She went on a trip. What time was that? And did she say where she was going?
I really don't know.
Kikuji looks back as he goes to the gate, but he can't tell which was Fumiko's room. The previous day she said the death was at her feet. He wipes his face with his handkerchief. He feels a cold sweat at his back.
What reason has she to die?
He is correct. There is no reason for Fumiko to die, Fumiko who brought life to him. But was her simple directness of the evening before the directness of death? Is she, like her mother, guilt-ridden, afraid of directness?
And only Kurimoto is left.
As if spitting out all Miss Kurimoto's accumulated venom, Kikuji hurries into the shade of the park. Did Fumiko kill herself like her mother, from guilt and shame? I'd like to think she didn't. But I couldn't decide, so I stopped the novel there, unfinished.
And poor Kikuji, what became of him, I wonder. I couldn't even decide whether Yukiko had really got married. Mrs. Ota's choice was noble, dignified. The only thing she could have done, given the circumstances. I once thought the book was a warning against the vulgarity into which the tea ceremony had fallen. But I was wrong. The ceremony is eternal. It is monsters like Kurimoto who supplied the vulgarity. The first words I spoke in my Nobel address were the words of a Buddhist priest, Dogen, from the 13th century. That took them by surprise. There I was, looking out at a sea of black ties and elegant gowns, waiting to be handed the highest accolade on earth for the writing of literature, the Nobel Prize. And I read them a poem by a priest from almost 1,000 years ago. Innate Spirit was its title. The words concerned the changing seasons. And I was trying to say that Buddha could be found in the seasons, a manifestation of ultimate truth. But my message got lost somehow. In Dogen's words, you hear the heart of the Japanese spirit under the influence of Zen. Oh, my eyes are so tired. Can it be dawn already? The temple bell calling the faithful to prayer. The night has flown. If it wasn't for that clown of a driver, I might have slept. Maybe the last thing I'll ever write is my own name on a napkin. And now it is my duty to finish my own story. Maybe my life was leading up to this, like my dear friend Mishima. Let me see if I can recall Dogen's words once again. They might do me some good. They might strengthen my resolve to do what I know I must do. Oh, yes. In the spring, cherry blossoms. In the summer, the cuckoo. In the autumn, the moon. And in the winter, the snow, clear, cold.
Thousand Cranes by Yasunari Kawabata, dramatized by Jude Cook. Kikuji Mitani was played by Nino Furuhata. Mrs. Ota by Naoko Mori. Miss Kurimoto by Kazuko Hoki. Fumiko Ota by Yuriri Naka. Yukiko by Miyuki Watanabe. The cab driver and the barman by Junichi Kajioka, and Yasunari Kawabata by Eiji Mihara. Original music by Sylvia Hallett. The director was Jeremy Mortimer. Thousand Cranes was a reduced listening production for BBC Radio 3.
You can find more editions of Drama on 3 on BBC Sounds.
On Human Rights Day 2020,
everyone is entitled to all the rights and freedoms set forth in this declaration.
Max Richter's moving new work, which weaves words from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, spoken in languages from around the globe. A special broadcast which will be heard on more than 35 radio stations from across Europe and in Australia, Canada, and the United States. Max Richter's Voices on Thursday evening at 7:30 on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
Time for this week's Record Review Extra, and here's Hannah French.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra. So much to smile about on tonight's show. Festive Chopin to make you chuckle. Strauss's majestic writing for horn that left our library builder in raptures. And to begin, an amorous Dmytro Popov with a couple of his hymns of love. A Ukrainian folk song, and before it, Dein ist mein ganzes Herz from Franz Lehár's The Land of Smiles.
Ich möchte deinen Ort.